Let's go.
You're listening to Making Data Simple, where we make the world of data effortless, relevant, and yes, even fun.
Hey folks, welcome to Making Data Simple. This is a podcast I started with my interest in data, which I think is the center of the universe, still the center of the universe, but it really includes everything from technology, business innovation, leadership, anything. I have my coach on here from time to time. Today's podcast is going to be a little bit different. We're going to record a video. Usually I always record a video and then I just take the audio. But today we're going to have a live virtual session. This will be used for Tech Fest within IBM Expert Lab Services here within IBM. And it will be presented internally. And then we're going to take the audio as we always do. And we'll put it on the Making Data Simple podcast. So let me jump in. And this is how I'm going to start us off today. I previously led Delivery and Expert Lab Services. These are world-class consultants. They have certified skills. They have what I call value-based services with repeatable practices, methodologies, offerings. I mean, they get IBM products deployed. I see this team as some of the hardest working, most knowledgeable, business impacting individuals with IBM. And I'm not playing to my audience. I always say right value, right skill, right time. I have since taken a role to lead IBM technical sales. But Expert Labs, thankfully, humbly invited me back and the podcast back so that I could interview the new, I don't even think this is a pun, the new general in charge, Diane Del Rosso, who is the VP of Expert Labs for IBM Software. She has a very interesting and diverse background from military to business leadership. First of all, before I even jump into some of the questions, Diane, I mean this sincerely, thank you for your service.
Well, thank you for supporting us. I mean, that means a great deal.
Look, I have military in my family as well, so it means a lot to me. It means a lot to all of us. But so here's what we're going to do. I like to keep this casual. It's like we're sitting at a bar having an adult beverage, and we're just having a conversation. I know it's what? It's 10. Well, I'm in Central. You're probably in Eastern, but it's 10 for me. And I know we can't have that drink, but my first question is if we were to have that drink, what drink would you have?
A cappuccino with you know, in I grew up in Italy as a military brat, and probably emphasis on the B for brat in my case, especially if you ask my sisters, but they call it a caffè corretto. So whether it's an espresso or whether it's a cappuccino, and they put sambuca in it. So, but not midday.
Obviously, would you have that? You wouldn't have it in the morning, right? What would you have at night? Would you have that at night? Is that your go-to?
You could have that at night, yes.
Okay, very good. I would have a bourbon. I don't like sweets, so I might have a whiskey sour, but I'd have to put the egg white on top just to tone down the sweet piece. All right, so look, I was going to try to describe your background, but you have such, you know, whether it's military, it's Silver Pop, I mean, there's so many different things. I am going to turn it over to you. My first question, well, I guess it's my second question now, is can you please talk to your career, your experience at essentially leads or lands you here today?
Boy, that's a huge question. A lot to unpack there.
Yes.
I have to believe that others had faith in my ability from where I've come from, but also, you know, mostly the IBM side, I would say, but there's an element, obviously, that is a part of my DNA, which is the military capabilities, which is, you know, how do you come across confident, competent? It's bottom line up front because you've already thought through the second and third order effects of whatever the decision is or whatever it is that we have to do. And that I would say is probably one of my small superpowers. And so, you know, in short, I believe that it is a combination of the things I've done in my past, but also on that military side that have landed me here squarely.
But could you say more about the military and then how you got to IBM and some jobs you've held in IBM? Go ahead.
Yes. So great question. So, you know, I had 11 years of active duty experience. I'm a logistics officer still, and I'm still, you know, serving no longer on active duty, you know, 24/7, which is what it was my career. I did depart the active component side, and I moved into the United States Army Reserve at about the 11th year. And it wasn't necessarily because it was something I really wanted to do. It was, I had a significant illness in my family. My father was gravely ill, and it was the second time that cancer had come back, and it forced me to make a smart decision and one that I felt was the best decision for me at the time. My older sister was also in the state of Virginia at the time, as was I with the military. And my younger sister also lived in Virginia. And it was just serendipitous that my parents retired in Williamsburg, Virginia. And it was just, it was the right time, the right decision to be made to leave the active side, because I was getting ready to be moved for my next assignment. I was promoted early to my next rank, and I was to depart and go off to some advanced schooling that is also a highly selected opportunity. And so I made the decision to leave. I went to two startups back to back quickly, 6 months each, and great experience to have done that. Not the normal course that junior military officers typically go to the top, Fortune 200. They get recruited into them exactly for the things that we, come with, which is the leadership, the experience, and the ability to understand outcomes that we're trying to achieve quickly and get people to yes, get people in the boat, get them rowing in the same direction, pace, azimuth, and distance, and get going.
How did you go from startup land to IBM, corporate land?
So I went through a graduate school. I went to get my MBA because I saw the experience I had, which was a failed experience in that first startup. And I applied to graduate school. I was just waiting for one of them to pay for it.
I see.
And
Hey, that works.
lucky for me, that worked. And from my MBA program, I was hired into IBM, and I was hired into IBM.com in marketing, believe it or not, to business partners. And so to me, that was awesome because you get high adventure, a lot of things that you're juggling in that statement all, to unpack all by itself. And I really enjoyed that onboarding experience into IBM. I really loved the challenge that gave me. And then I worked my way up pretty quickly into becoming a director within 4.5 years in IBM, in IBM proper. And I believe that it is because of the leadership experience. I believe it is because I was an experienced hire. It wasn't like I had, 4 or 6 years of experience coming in. I came with a lot in my kit bag or arsenal, if you will, and enjoyed and had just some amazing experiences and some great mentors in IBM, I would say, whether it was formal or informal, and great leaders that I got to work with.
Very good, very good. I got a lot of follow-ups to that, but I'm gonna. Why military? Is it military family? Is that was
Yes.
that expected? By the way, I hope you got to spend some time with your dad. Sounds
I
like you did.
did. I did. It was the right decision at the time. What the doctors told us, my dad beat by a couple of months, but it was the right decision. And I will never regret that at time being able to be close by to drop everything and get in the car and go to Williamsburg and be able to spend time with the family, the whole family and extended families there. But to answer your other question on the military family, it wasn't expected. It was an opportunity, and that's how we saw it. Our folks sat us all down and said, "You're going to be in college at the same time. We can afford it if you go to state schools. If you're going to go to a private school, or you're going to go to another, an academy, you guys can help." And so for us, that was, the path. My older sister was at Georgetown on an ROTC scholarship for 4 years, and I saw. I applied to West Point. I got in at the very last minute. I changed my mind, and I had thankfully the foresight because of my sister's, experience and seeing that opportunity with the Army ROTC scholarship to do the same. So I applied to a 4-year scholarship. I received it. They're very competitive these back then as well as today. And then it was a matter of, finding the right school to go to. Given that I changed my mind to not go to West Point.
Why'd you change your mind not to go to West Point?
Well, the biggest reason, quite frankly, wasn't because of the opportunity. The opportunity is absolutely phenomenal, still is today. And I have many, many friends who did go to school there. For me, it was because I was a military brat. My dad was an Army officer. We moved around all these years, and going straight from West Point, or sorry, from high school right into West Point, for me was more of the same, meaning I wouldn't have an experience outside of that military that was designing and influence your schedules, your agendas, your learning, all of that. I wanted a sense of responsibility of my own. And so I went to get my undergraduate degree with the 4-year Army ROTC scholarship with the understanding that if I was still looking for that a different challenge, that West Point challenge, I would reapply, which I did. And I got in the second time, but I withdrew my packet and stayed where I was because I loved it.
Well, look, I love it. By the way, also one comment I would make, and it kind of ties to your other comment. My wife always has a saying that applies to what you just said, is like, you'll never regret doing the right thing. And it sounds like that applies to you.
Yes.
You say you're in the reserves. You're a high level exec within IBM. How reserve is the reserve these days?
So it is job dependent, certainly job dependent, I will tell you. As a commander, and I was a commander for 3 years, three actually 3.5 years, and I live in Arlington, Virginia. My command was in Los Angeles. So to answer your question succinctly, it is almost every single weekend and many evenings during
Wow.
the week for several hours after. Thankfully for me, because of the time difference, I would normally get on a call between 7 and 8 p.m. and be on a call between 10 and 11 p.m. As a commander with my units back on the West Coast. And so the time, but it's honestly, just like being at IBM and working for IBM, we love this company. And we, those of us who serve in the military, we love serving in the military. And so you give the hours and that are needed to, to the teammates that you're trying to, help coach,
Yeah, I hear you.
lead and mentor.
So here's the question. Do you hate Navy? Just like I hate
For the normal person who doesn't have Navy in their family, maybe. But because
Oh, okay.
I had a cousin who was a Navy SEAL officer, and he, he and my uncle, his father, so that, but his father was not by blood. It was his wife was my aunt. So I re distinctly remember when you're sitting in the Navy end zone yelling Army and getting told to sit down in expletives and fun by many people in the Navy end zone that were telling me that I
They
wasn't
take
allowed
that
to be
seriously.
loud.
That's why
Oh,
that's a
yes.
serious question.
Yes.
That's a very serious question. They go
Yes.
crazy in those football games, Army versus Navy.
Yes.
So you do not discourage Navy because you got Navy in your family.
It's healthy competition.
Okay, healthy competition. We'll leave it at that. So with all that you just said, how would you describe your brand then?
I describe my brand as being a coach. First and foremost, it is about leadership. It is, though it is certainly about coaching. And here's why I say about, coach. A coach is somebody who sometimes gives you tough love, but you don't want to hear it and you didn't expect it, but you need it. And so there are times when then people will if you ask them about me and my brand, they will tell you that right up front.
Good. That's a great answer. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on some business questions. I'll come back to the military and some leadership.
Okay.
But outside of this current position, because we won't count it, do you have a favorite position, whether it's military, otherwise that you've had of all time? If you had to pick one, if I force you to pick a favorite position, what would it be?
I love being a part of the acquisition space. And
Okay.
here's why. The teammates come in with just this, they're so grateful to be acquired by a company, an iconic company like IBM. They once you can get through the sort of forming, storming, norming, and helping them understand how to thrive in this very large company where there's, today, 250 new friends, 1,000, I should say, 250,000 new friends that
Me
want to
too.
be, want to take the acquisition and go talk to their clients, which is awesome. When they see that and the lights go on, the opportunity that they have, it's just amazing. And they're so excited. And I learned so much from them because they're bringing new capabilities and new technology into IBM that we didn't even know existed, that most of the times our clients don't know exist, and they don't know until you show it to them because they didn't even think about it in that same new light. So I would say, and for me, because I just came off of being able to, had the good fortune and privilege to get to lead Turbonomic, I would say that's my most recent one. But I would also say my experience with Silverpop was amazing because the CEO of that company is just he's an icon, Bill Nussey, and today's still a mentor for me.
Do you, how many acquisitions have you done?
Three. Well,
Three.
directly in terms of a leadership role, three, but I've also been the recipient of many more when in my earlier days of being,
Right.
in what was our WebSphere brand. So think of iLog, Lombardi. There were lots of acquisitions we did at the very beginning, and I got to be, hands-on participant with that, as well as, our mobile application development. So we created that mobile first from WorkLight, which was also an acquisition.
So now when I need
Dating myself,
acquisition,
but
yeah, no. Well, now when I need acquisition coaching, I know where to go, right? It's straight to your office.
I'm happy to do that.
So now you're at Expert Labs. Why is this the next step in your career? Why it's the right place, the right time?
It's a great question because when I, you look out into the future when somebody gives you a new opportunity and they say, "Where do you want to be in 5 years?" This was my answer when I was given the opportunity to go take the leadership opportunity with Turbo, because I was actually deployed in Kuwait. When I came back, I needed to find a job. Luckily, such a great company, they were fortunate in helping, me in that effort greatly. But I would say I would love to be in customer success, wherever that leads me. If that's Expert Labs, if that's customer success, I want to be close to customers. I want to make an impact there. And this, opportunity came open, and having led Expert Labs before, with Kareem, as a part of our what was our Watson IoT division, and then became, bigger, and now it's a sustainability software. To me, it's almost like coming home, and it's being able to bring innovation directly to the point of need at the tip end of this, the spear, to make the difference in a client's engagement with IBM. We get to be the strategic advisor along with a lot of our other teammates, and I just think that that's the heartbeat of where clients are needing our expertise, right at the point of need. And you can really make that difference in a short period of time.
I've been there, so I agree with you 100%. If you had a niece, nephew, somebody comes up to you and asks you to say, what do you do for a living? How do you answer that?
And I do have them. I have four. And I try, shamelessly, I've been trying to get them into software, get them into studies of
Is it
innovation.
working?
It is working.
Good.
Yes,
Didn't
it
work
is
with my
working. I'm
kids, that's
proud to
why I asked.
say. Right now I'm 3 for 4. The fourth is a senior in high
Wow.
school, but I'm not done. They haven't joined IBM,
Actually,
but they're
no.
in the areas that put them in positions to win, to come to companies like IBM, where they can make a difference in innovation, both in a software perspective, but also from a logistics perspective.
But how do
Just
you describe Expert Labs then? What do you say you
so
do?
it's an interesting question, because to say that we're in product professional services is not enough. It is. It gets you on the high dive with them to explain this to them. But to get that high dive springboarding, I have to go in to help them understand the things we do with our clients. It's that key ingredient that makes that innovation come to life.
All right, so now you're in Expert Labs. What's the biggest surprise? I mean, you come in, you're like, all right, and what has really kind of made you go, I would never would have thought that.
The
Is there a
talent.
surprise up? The
The talent.
what?
The level of talent, the level of passion, the level of expertise, and the innovation we're actually doing day to day with our clients, that to me is eye-watering in a wonderful way.
It's a pretty good answer. Look, when I said it when I started off the podcast here. Look, I mean, some of the hardest working, the very knowledgeable, and I have to admit to you, I still ping them day to day and ask them for advice and different product expertise, et cetera, because they know what they're doing. There's no
They
question
do.
about
They
it.
do. And I learn things about our technology, about our people, about our clients every single day. It's the best job. I have the best job at IBM.
That's great. Expert Labs mission then. How do you describe that? It's kind of related to what we already talked about. And I think the part of the question is how does it differ from consulting? I think some people get confused because they look at Expert Labs as services, consulting as services. How do you differentiate?
The biggest differentiation for me is to describe I have the Jedi Knights or the Ninja Warriors or the Gerber knife, that specialty tool and that Gerber knife that you pull that out. It's our team. It's the laser focus on the capabilities we need to deliver to solve the client's needs, and create new opportunities. It's innovation and it's value creation at its finest. And to be able to deliver that in a very short period of time, as I mentioned, together with our other IBM teammates, is just, it's really awesome.
You're reminding me that I need to steal some of these folks,
No.
No, all
Unless
good,
it's
all
good for
good.
their career. Unless it's a promotion and really good for
Okay,
their career,
fair.
we'll talk.
All right, fair enough. So I know you must come in with some like a mid and long-term vision for Expert Labs. Can you articulate that here?
So when you think about where are we taking the ship for Expert Labs, it's the constant need to stay abreast of what's out there from a technology perspective, skilling up our teams. And I know one of our questions that we had discussed before, not on this podcast, but outside of this, is where what skill level do we need to aspire to be, for our a lot of our teams. And that is really kind of the level four. And so the long term is continuing to provide and be the catalyst for innovation for our clients. And, to do so at a profitable margin, for IBM, but also for the client, and to be able to show that in a short period of time.
You're really close to development, right? I mean, that's why it's
Yes.
expert labs. Where is the line of distinction or the differentiation between, hey, I'm promoting and helping this product with the client versus the P&L piece? How do you balance that tightrope?
It's a great question. I'll let you be the judge after this quarter to tell me whether I'm doing okay, but or we are doing okay as a
Yes,
team. But
absolutely.
the differentiation, I don't know if it is as distinct as kind of differentiation, because to me this is a team sport. The goal is to take the best we are. First of all, the first thing is, right, listening to the client's needs and understanding what the questions we should be asking to tease that out so that we actually really understand the problems we're helping them solve and where they're trying to go into their future and their journey. And every journey is unique. And it isn't taking what we have and ensuring that that's what they decide that they want to go with. It's helping to solve the problem because they have all kinds of things in their environments. It's optimizing what is in their environment, helping them see what the art of the possible is, and then giving them decision points in which they can act upon a journey that makes the most sense for their business. And so if that's taking what we have been working with the IBM research or the labs and making that real for them, it's serving it up in a way that gives them options and then helping them as that strategic advisor to make the decision at what points they'll be able to see the fruits of that in their environments, depending on what their outcomes are.
Are there any strong plays that you're really reinforcing right now within the Expert Labs community?
There are right now, obviously, we are seeing some really amazing opportunities in what we see as trustworthy AI. There are many names for this in GRC and your clients. And when you look at their governance opportunities or AI governance, it's also called. So we're seeing some good not only pipeline opportunities, but we've already delivered on several fronts in financial institutions as well as in highly regulated segments of markets like healthcare.
Let's go back to the skills thing, if I could. What are you looking for the team to get out of Tech Fest? My definition is being POC, proof of concept, capable within those products. You see it the same way?
Yes.
I mean, that's the easiest way to define it. I mean, it's bigger than that, but anyway, same way.
I do. But it's also ensuring that the teammates we have within IBM, that we're all seeing the same things the same way. Right, because we know again, this is a team sport. You're with the client, engaged with the client, along with your teammates, and making sure we're aligned on the outcomes that the client's trying to achieve and the ways in which we need to do that as a team. And sometimes that includes some competitor capabilities in there, but we have to agree and be aligned on the goals and what that charter is for that client.
When do you use a partner versus not?
Great question. Sometimes, and I shouldn't say sometimes, very often a customer has a boutique partner or a GSI that they look to deliver upon, contractually. Sometimes there's great occasions where we can co-sell together with a partner, and the partner may have the relationship with that customer, and they're bringing IBM Expert Labs in because they know and have had other experiences with us in their past life with other partners or other customers, and so we see that honestly as a win-win-win because it's win for IBM, win for the partner, win for the customer. But the proof of values and proof of concepts, those are great ways to bring our teams in at really low costs. And you can in short milestones to be able to prove out the value to a customer or a client and then have a follow-on project that's identified with greater amounts of budget that then allows you to go in because you've proven that. To then come in and bring it to bring it home and prove that value out.
I mean, so there are a lot of things. It's not really, I don't consider that free though. That's like a, what you call it? I mean, but it's like you say, it's a proof of experience that you're partnering with the client so they can see the value, and then it becomes a partnership and a relationship, and usually they buy services or whatever the case may be.
Yes.
Yeah, I got it. When I came into Expert Labs a couple of years ago, I come in and like within a month, we go into lockdown. So I was all excited, expert labs, client facing, which I love. And then we get shut down. Are you guys over that now? I mean, because of COVID, are you getting back out in front of customers, or it's still slow? I mean, where do you stand today?
We are. I will tell you though, it's an interesting dichotomy because while the COVID lockdown has, mostly been released and people are engaging to be able to fly to customers and have that face-to-face relationship because it's so vital to build the relationship with that client, especially new ones that may not know that IBM is even in this business.
It seems to be harder to get in front of clients sometimes because they got the same, like I've got a one client that I'm working with that went completely remote, even their executives. And so then trying to get everybody together to have an architecture discussion, I mean, it's like painful trying to get that. I don't know if you're experiencing that, but that's one thing I think is a negative on it. There's a lot of positives. I'm working out of my home, as you can see, and I get to spend more time with family, probably work more like everyone else. I mean, I didn't think it was possible. Yeah, but you work more. But I do find it harder sometimes to get a whole executive team together. I don't know if you find that, but.
I do, even on site though. I won't name the name of the customer, but there was a group of us, let's say the arsenal of the right teams at IBM were present and engaged and ready to engage, but the client didn't similarly show up in to what we thought was the shared agreement to be there on site. So, it can happen on site just as well as virtually that people aren't able to show up. So I just say that's why there's this dichotomy. You have to figure out who are the right people, the right time, what's the message we need to be conveying, but also what agreements are we trying to reach as a part of this discussion? What questions, what outcomes are we seeking? And that's why those prep meetings, internal to IBM are so important, but also equally important is making sure that the customer understands the urgency on both sides, the opportunity for them, and the urgency for them, but as well as what we're bringing, and do we have our arrows aligned on both sides?
Well, I
That's
think the good news is I do see like ad hoc meetings are easier. People are more
yes,
inclined to go jump on a call. And I did
yes,
that with that same customer I mentioned yesterday. The only thing
100%.
is the logistics of trying to get like an architecture discussion together has become a little bit more difficult. We really got to plan and we got to even rent some space at times. Anyway, that can be a difficulty. Where do you think you're going to leave your mark? If you look 5 years from now and what you've done for Expert Labs, where do you think you'll leave your mark?
Are we speaking from just the IBM's perspective or the military's perspective or,
Well, now you've got me interested in all those areas. So I think however you want to
make
answer
sure I
it,
answer
is
your
it
question.
no, if it's like 3 years from now, 5 years now, from whatever, and they say, remember old Diane, she was awesome. Before we were like this, and now we're like this, and that's thanks to Diane.
One of my superpowers is knocking hurdles out of the way to get them to thrive. And continue to do what they love to do. And that's where I would love to be able to leave a mark is so that we're improving every single day along our journey in Expert Labs, but really being able to empower the teams to run and continue to run and thrive with our customers. And really my job, I feel my job and my leadership team, their job is to be able to buffer our team such that we are getting smart enough and being able to handle things that come our way and help the choppy waters be smoother waters for them to continue, moving as fast as possible. Hopefully that's, addressing your question where I'd
I
like
think
to
it's a
leave my mark is that our team is continuing to do the things that they love to do and not be, mired in some of the productivity, issues we may face or finance issues or headwinds with the, to the best we can to that are coming our way from an economic perspective. Those are always going to be there, but to really help coach, teach, and mentor them through those high waters so that they can continue to thrive.
look, I want to transition to this is your life, Diane. Some fun stuff. But before I do, anything that I didn't ask or something that you'd want to say on Expert Labs that I missed?
I the only one point I'd love to just continue to emphasize is how amazing the team is, how talented they are, And please, please feel free to reach out to all of us and ask how can we help you?
Hey, listeners, I'm going to stop the podcast here. We covered Diane's experience and her approach to expert lab services here at IBM. Next time, she'll talk about what it takes to be a two-star general and how the military has influenced her leadership style. Talk to you next week.